Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Adam McManus, also with me. He is the host of The Worldview in 5 Minutes and co-hosting with us on the Generations broadcast today. Adam, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. We've got a serious topic today. It's one that it makes my blood boil.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We like to address the antithesis as it is attacking our children, our families, our Christian faith in the most aggressive possible way. The zeitgeist is coming strongly against Christian families through schools and through mass media, and I'd suggest that mass media tends to be stronger in terms of its influence upon the minds of our children than the boring school marms down at the local public schools. So we are talking about a really powerful influence, the mediums that fill our children's minds through Hollywood and, of course, Disney. Disney has finally done it. They've been leading the pack towards homosexualizing our kids for 20 years, and we're going to talk about that after the break. But they are fully out of the closet as of last week. And the movie is out. It's a short, but it is out, and it is the first openly homosexual movie where the main character is homosexual, and the entire story is about homosexuality for 8-year-olds, or 5-year-olds, or 6-year-olds.
So sad.
It's outrageous. It is outrageous, Adam. They are exploiting children for satanic purposes. 2020, the year of Disney's outing, and it's not an outing to the park, and it's not an outing to Disneyland. It is an outing of the sin of homosexuality and, of course, the homosexualizing of our kids. It's just outrageous.
I don't know anything about Walt Disney's personal life, but he appeared to be a family man, and he certainly had an appreciation for family values. I'm not saying he was a Bible-believing Christian by any stretch of the imagination. I know there were all kinds of satanic powers that he touched on and in some of his Mickey Mouse pieces. But I do know, growing up, we were not allowed to watch much television. We were allowed to watch about 2 hours of cartoons on Saturday morning, and Sunday nights it was the wonderful world of Disney. It was the days of really family-friendly fare where there was no homosexual subplot or primary plot. It was just good old-fashioned fun. But today, Disney has turned a dark and evil corner.
Well, someday somebody's going to write the book on what happened behind the scenes in the capturing, the kidnapping of Disney and the kidnapping of our children and the Pied Piper of Disney. And friends, the Disney organization has led the fight and led the march on the enculturalization of homosexuality. And friends, it was not the Supreme Court of the United States that pulled the strings to bring homosexual marriage into the modern age. It was Walt Disney Corporation. It was the pop culture organizations. It was much, much more Miley Cyrus than it was the Supreme Court of the United States. It is the pop culture that leads the nation. Come on. This is what establishes the zeitgeist, what leads the spirit of the age. And there must be incredibly powerful spiritual forces behind these organizations that are pushing so hard to normalize the sin of homosexuality. And the outrageousness of this is lost to much of the Christian audience. Many of these Christians are going to these 2020 movies, whether it be the most recent Out or whether it would be Onward, which was just another Disney production that celebrated lesbianism, at least with a minor character. And they're taking their kids to this. They're taking their kids to watch these movies.
They are. And I'll tell you, one of the frustrations on my part is that they put a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of redemptive themes. Onward had apparently some positive content. But then they sneak in Laurel, the female police officer who has a lesbian lover who makes a reference to it, and the kids, you know, are soaking it up. They may not understand all of it at that point, but they're planting these satanic seeds in the souls of our kids. And we have to draw the line in the sand and say, is it worth it for them to see some so-called redemptive message in Onward when there's a minor lesbian character? To me, it's not worth it. We can stay at home and read Swiss Family Robinson and get a lot more out of it, or the Bible. Better yet.
Well, the excuse that, you know, this movie, this book has a redemptive theme. Hey, porn movies have redemptive themes. Every religion has a redemptive theme. The Hindus have a redemptive theme. The satanic people have redemptive themes. They have a theory as to what the sin is or what the problem with society is, and then they present their solution, whether it be a seance or whatever it is, to relieve us or release us from the bondage of the thing they called sin. So every worldview has what they call sin and a redemptive theme. And it turns out that the biblical definition of sin and the biblical definition of redemption is not repeated in these movies. Just the fact that somebody is bringing a redemptive salvation message where somebody is saved or redeemed from something, friends, is not necessarily reflective of a biblical worldview. So come on, give me a break. We don't need any more redemptive themes unless it's the right redemptive theme that, of course, is the theme of God intervening and incarnating by his son into human flesh and bringing his salvation to helpless, hopeless people like us and releasing us from the power of Satan and the power of death. Okay, so redemptive themes aside, you put arsenic into the tea, it's going to be a problem. There may be other elements in the team, but if you have a bestiality scene in a kid's movie, I don't care how many redemptive themes you got in that movie, you need to turn it off. And we're at the point at which I'm not sure if Disney is going to incorporate bestiality into the Lassie movies. But friends, I know that's outrageous to say it, but somebody needs to step out and say, hey, we've been softened to the sin of homosexuality by Disney and by these wonderful Hollywood production companies. And it's, yeah, it took 20 years for the temperature to rise and the frogs in the slowly boiling water to achieve 211 degrees Fahrenheit. It took 20 years for that to happen, but at some point somebody needs to step back and say something very, very wicked this way comes, and it's already happened, and it's happening. And Christians are just walking down the merry path behind the Pied Piper on this, and this is taking their kids to hell. Well, we need to sound the alarm for this kind of thing. And one other illustration, you know, people say, well, there's so many other good things going on. There's a lesbian theme scene, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the rest of the story is just wonderful. Well, you can put a mustache on the Mona Lisa. Think about a little kid creeping into the Louvre and putting a big old mustache, one swipe of the paintbrush over Mona Lisa's upper lip, and before you know it, you know, you've marred the painting. I don't care how many other paint strokes there were in that painting, you've ruined it, okay? One scene can ruin a movie, all right?
That's right. Absolutely. We should have that sensitivity. I mean, I remember the evangelism explosion example that D. James Kennedy gave in training people on how to share and present the gospel of Christ. And he said, tell someone you're going to make them a three-egg omelet, and two of the eggs are perfectly fine. One is rotten. It's not a big deal. It's just one of three. And I'm going to beat this up, and I'm going to make you an omelet and add all kinds of good things like cheese and sausage and bacon. Would you eat it? No. Well, why not? Because that one rotten egg made the entire omelet unacceptable and rotten. And similarly, our one sin makes us unacceptable to God without Christ's atonement and his sacrificial death on the cross. And like you said, one satanic, morally degenerate scene will ruin, and should ruin, for a Christian parent's perspective, any movie for our kids. We should love our kids enough to keep them away from this foolishness.
Friends, we're going to talk about the history of this thing and how this crept up on us over 20 years. It's taken Disney 20 years to corrupt children, and that's the way the church fathers used to refer to this. Friends, that's what homosexuality was typically referred to as through the history of Christianity back into the first several three, four centuries of the church. The corruption of boys, the corruption of children is what they're all about and what they've been all about for thousands of years. That's what the Greek gymnasiums were all about. This is what Disney is all about. This is what the perverse are all about. It's all about the corruption of children. That's the agenda. And that's what's happening. So Christian parents, wake up and smell the napalm in the war of the worldviews. It's time to wake up to this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and they are engaging full-out warfare now. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word, in the mountains, along with some good fellowship with a couple hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, also Adam McManus with me. Dealing with a very critical topic, Jesus said, if you offend one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Boy, words like that are important to internalize and to consider as parents. We really need to repent of times at which we have subjected our children to these stumbling blocks. And friends, Disney has increasingly become that Pied Piper that leads our children from one sequel to the next, to the next, to the next, until we have made it all the way into the very seed bed of Gomorrah. And that's the pattern. That's what we have seen over the last 20 years. There is no secret at all. The Atlantic magazine had the article, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, where they detailed that Disney indeed has been the cultural leader in the area of homosexuality. They are the homosexual organization in the world. They are the leading homosexual organizations of the entire world. And so parents, be aware of that. Heads up, unless that's your vision for your children, unless you really desire your children to be led into the fields of homosexuality and all other sexual perversions, if that's, I guess, your worldview, then you're doing what you believe is the best thing. But as Christians, we need to abominate these things. And indeed, Disney World hosted quote-unquote gay pride events in 1991. All right? I mean, this is some of the very first of any major American corporations or cultural leading organizations. This is it. In 1991, it was Disney that was pushing the quote-unquote gay pride events to bring us to the situation where we find ourselves today. And there were other instances of this agenda creeping into our children's media via Disney. But Mulan is one of the most significant of the first, and that comes out in 1998. Mulan. It was, this gal was cross-dressing, but it wasn't just cross-dressing.
No, it was a desire to be the gender that she wasn't. Mulan had a desire to be a boy, and there's a key song that we're going to feature a clip of in just a moment. But I think by way of backdrop, it's interesting to note that all of the Disney protagonists often reject traditional views and traditional marriage partners. Ariel wanted to marry a human against her father's wishes. Belle rejected Gaston's proposal in front of the whole town. Jasmine refused to marry the Sultan's suitors. Pocahontas refused to marry the tribal warrior. Mulan rejected conventional matchmaking. So there is this undercurrent and theme that the journey is always about rejecting your parental and societal expectation and exercising a, quote, freedom to marry whomever you love. That's kind of the spirit of the entire homosexual movement. And now, thanks to Mulan, that came out in 1998, some time ago, children, even back then, were given a character who celebrated the hope of becoming a different gender. Listen to this song.
Yeah, and the key lyric that comes through this is, when will my reflection show who I am inside? And the reflection's key song really portrays this discontentment with her gender, because there's something she is inside that needs to be reflected by her dress. And that's the theme of this song, Reflections. So there it is. That's the key song, and that demonstrates the degree of discontentment that Mulan is reflecting by this song. She wants her reflection to show who she really is inside. Come on, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what she's saying here, Adam.
I cannot hide who I am. Yeah, she's a boy. Yeah, of course we know. God made her a boy, but she looks like a girl. I mean, it makes no sense. Just like the entire transgender movement makes no sense. It's from the pit of hell.
Right. And that comes in 1998, friends. That's the beginning of the gender bender, the gender reassignment, the gender confusion, the gender destructive influence that has been undermining the entire Western world. And friends, there is nothing more confusing, nothing more abominable, nothing more disruptive than to begin to question gender for children. And by the way, they're doing it by the tens of millions now with gender neutral bathrooms in the kindergartens across America and Colorado and California. I know half the states have pretty much brought the transgender worldview into the kindergarten classrooms. All right, so, but it started with Mulan. So I think people need to remember, it starts with Disney. Disney leads the pack to the destruction of Western civilization. So keep that in mind. That was 1998, and then 2017 was a big year. 2017 and 2020 are the biggest years in the outing of Disney. And you remember 2017, you had the brief homosexual scene in Beauty and the Beast. And Beauty and the Beast, I believe, was the biggest movie of 2017 box office receipts. If it wasn't number one, it was number two. But it was huge. It had tremendous influence on the West.
This is the live-action version of the 1991 animated musical, and it had LeFou, if I'm pronouncing that right, played by Josh Gad, portrayed as being homosexual, and the entire subplot was dedicated to the original film's late lyricist, Howard Ashman, who was a homosexual and died tragically of AIDS in 1991. So the whole thing was an homage to the late homosexual Howard Ashman.
2017, big year. And 2017 was the year that homosexuality was introduced to the tweens and the teens by Disney, first with Beauty and the Beast, and that was in 2017, as Andy Mack, a television program, introduced homosexuality to tweens in 2017 as well, first same year, and
on the Disney Channel.
On the Disney Channel, right. And it was a big, big outing. Now, again, for the tweens, we're talking tweens. Now you're moving down into the 12, 13, and 14-year-old range. This wasn't for 18-year-olds. This was now for the 10, 11, 12-year-olds to be introduced to a lifestyle of homosexuality. And we're going to play the key scene just for a second so people get a feel for what was happening in this rather revolutionary, incredibly powerful scene that that dragged a 12-year-old out of the closet, so to speak. It just
Cyrus Goodman is confessing to his friend Buffy that he likes one of the boys, and he's trying to get up the courage to tell him directly. And he happens to be Jewish. He's wearing a yarmulke. And the scene is at a big breakfast buffet where his quote-unquote love interest, another boy in his class, has come up to the table and is confused by all the culinary delights on the table. And this is the scene.
All right, here it is.
You'll know when it's the right time.
Cyrus, help. I'm not recognizing anything here.
Okay, well, that, of course, is Aunt Ruthie's kugel. That's your classic bagel and lox. That's gefilte fish. Skip that. And I'm gay.
All right, so there it is. That was supposed to be the outing in 2017. And friends, the only reason we're doing this is because we're trying to illustrate to families that this is Walt Disney. This is what Disney does. And these are intensely spiritual, intensely powerful scenes that are meant to manipulate children who have gained something of an appreciation for a character. That is, they are brought into this enchantment and this appreciation for a certain character in a series or a series of sequels by movies. They get to the point where they appreciate the stars and the characters in the movies or the television series, and then the character leads them down the primrose path to hell by the approval of a certain form of sin that is treated in Scripture as abominable. Now, it's not just this. This isn't the only sin. There's the sin of fornication. There's the sin of taking God's name in vain. There's the sin. So we're not saying that this is the only sin that is promoted by Disney. But man, it is a big one, and it is a leading sin, and appears to be the politically correct sin of the day. And I think as Christians, we need to be very careful with what our children watch. Your children aren't watching Onward this year, are they?
My children are not. And yet, interestingly, in our circles, homeschooling, Christian, conservative, there were parents saying, you know, I've looked at it, I've looked it up, I've researched it, it has some otherwise positive themes. There's this minor character who happens to be a lesbian who references her lesbian lover. I don't like that, but I don't think the kids will even get that. It's going to go right over their head. My own children, whose friends were seeing Onward, were asking me, Daddy, can we see Onward? My children are Honor, who's 10, Mercy, who's 8, and Valor, who's 5. And I said, no, we're not going to see Onward. Well, why not? Well, I didn't want to get into it right now to have that conversation, but I just put my foot down and said, we're not seeing that. There's something bad in there that I don't think is right for children to see. But, I mean, to think that I'm having this conversation in my own house is revealing of how insidious this stuff is.
Yeah. You got it. And the word insidious was exactly the word that came to my mind, Adam. And, friends, 2017, big year. Andy Mack out of the closet as a 12-year-old. Or whatever he was, looks like he's 12 or 13 years of age. Beauty and the Beast for tweens and teens. And then 2020.
Let me just mention Doc McStuffins. The same year, 2017, on the TV channel Disney Junior. This is for children 2, 3, 4, and 5 years of age. And I think this goes along with the theme that Disney is increasingly pushing this homosexual, transgendered agenda at younger and younger ages. In that particular cartoon, Doc McStuffins, there were two moms of one family, and they were voiced by lesbian actresses Wanda Sykes, a comedian, and Portia de Rossi, who I believe is the wife of Ellen DeGeneres, the comedian and afternoon talk show host. So this is what our kids are getting. If they're watching Disney Junior and the parents think everything's fine, and Doc McStuffins is a safe show for 2 to 5-year-olds. I mean, it's just horrifying.
Yeah, and 2020, it takes the final step. Why? Because at this point, we've got Disney DuckTales, which, as I see it, Disney DuckTales is not for tweens or teens. Disney DuckTales is for the 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds. Disney DuckTales this year, in fact, just a month ago, Disney DuckTales debuted two homosexuals. These are men now. And this is, for some reason, you know, introducing men as homosexuals and introducing them as foster people for some kid was a very important move on the part of Disney. It was a final move in some respects to bring homosexuality as normative into the mindset of 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. And the same thing for Onward. Onward is not for the teens. Onward is for the 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. And Out, again, entirely centered on two homosexuals. These are male homosexuals. And the entire theme of Out, and again, this for 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, the entire theme all based around homosexuality.
Yeah.
So, friends, this is the sexualizing of kids. This is the homosexualizing of kids. This is what was going on in the Greek gymnasiums, pedophilia, corrupting children by sexualizing them. This is what they do. John Maynard Keynes, one of the very first homosexuals of the 1900s, was doing the very same thing. Harvey Milk, same thing in the 1960s with his pedophilia. This is the kind of thing that homosexuality is about, especially as these major film-producing companies present it for children. Disney has taken up the task of homosexualizing and sexualizing kids in the most perverse manner possible. And, friends, it's just wrong. It's like pulling the pin on a hand grenade in a kindergarten classroom. And I'm just saying it's time for parents, it's time for pastors, it's time for every spiritual leader in America to stand up and say, this is just pure evil. We don't pull pins of hand grenades in kindergarten classrooms, and we're not going to do it with our media either.
Right, and I want to get into some of the detail about Out. This is a short film. It wasn't in the theaters. It was streamed over Disney Plus about a man named Greg who struggles with coming out to his parents as homosexual before moving in with his boyfriend, Manuel. And like the old movie with Tom Hanks called Big, where he is able to somehow magically switch minds with an 8-year-old boy, and he's the game executive, and now as the game executive he's got the mind of a boy and is creating all these fun games because he's got the mind of a boy, and the boy is of course got the mind of an adult. Similarly, Greg, the lead main character of this Disney short called Out that was just streamed over the last couple of weekends, is talking to his dog kind of out loud, holding his dog's collar, wishing he could switch bodies with the dog because he's so stressed out by his parents coming. He doesn't know if he can, has the quote unquote courage to tell his parents he's homosexual. And all of a sudden, through the magic of Disney, Greg is inside the mind of the dog, and the dog's in mind is in mind of Greg. And when his mother and father are coming over, the father's outdoor grilling, the mother's kind of snooping around, the dog, who's actually Greg's in the mind of the dog, is frantically putting, trying to pull away and put away all these pictures showing him and Manuel in a kind of a loving embrace type thing around the mantelpiece, and he's hiding them in the drawers. It's clearly designed for kids. It's animated. There's lots of, in at least the trailer, there's lots of humor in it, like you always have. But this very short from Disney, Kevin, is directed by Stephen Clay Hunter, a name that most of us probably don't know, but he was the one who directed WALL-E and Toy Story 2, and the film's producer, Max Sechar, was the one who worked on Coco and Incredibles 2. So they're using their God-given talents for satanic purposes. That's what we need to really communicate clearly to the end generations.
And as we wrap up this edition of the program, friends, I'd like to focus on that issue, because these are called mediums. Media is the medium, and I want you to remember that. The devil uses media as the medium, and mediums were typically witches that channeled spirits in seances. That's what a medium is. Hopefully none of you have ever gone to a seance, but that's what the medium is. The medium invites the demon into the presence of others, and these medium will channel the spiritual power, which opens up the minds of those who are engaged with it. And the demons then have an easier opportunity accessing these others in the room. And that's what the medium did. Well, that's exactly what this media does. Disney works as a medium. Disney opens up the minds of children so that demons have an easier opportunity to access their minds. Movies, music can work this way, and it often does in our present situation, especially as principalities and powers are working very, very hard in music production, movie production, to bring an evil spirit into and an evil content into the media. So our children can become enchanted by media. It's bewitching. It's to be put under the power of it or under the control of it. It's interesting, if you shut off the movie and critique it, suddenly everybody's offended. Why? Because you broke the spell. You broke the enchantment. And people don't like that kind of thing. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Well, here's the question. Are we coming under the power or under the control of these things? Are we being instructed wrongly about sexuality? Are we loosening our own standards because the world is chipping away at biblical morals? Are we coming into communion with the unfruitful works of darkness to the point that we begin to appreciate the unfruitful works of darkness? You know, years ago, I would critique The Hunger Games or Frozen or these other Disney flicks. And, you know, immediately we would go to its self-conscious humanist autonomy and the music. You know, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to break all laws. I'm going, obvious stuff. But I get pushback from Christian families and pastors. And I wondered, have they come under the spell of this thing? Why would they be so... In fact, the most controversial programs we have ever done in the history of generations has been The Hunger Games, Frozen, and all the rest. But why? Because of the enchantment, because of the spell that is cast over those who have come into deep appreciation for these great icons of culture, whether it be Frozen, whether it be The Hunger Games, or what have you. Entertainment can become a distraction, a diversion, oftentimes because we don't want to deal with God's reality. We're running away from God's solution, God's answer to the world's problem, God's redemption. Well, friends, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And as we wrap this up, set your mind on things that are above. Jesus is ruling on the right hand of the Father. He's bringing his enemies under his footstool. Jesus is going to judge the whole world. He will bring every matter into judgment, and he is our advocate before the Father. Keep your affections, keep your mind on things that are above. Don't surrender it to the powers of darkness. Philippians 4:8 also. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. Be sure to get your friends and family members tuning in. If you have any friends or any family members who own Disney movies or send their kids off to watch Disney flicks, get this program into their hands now. Send the link to them now. This is critical, absolutely critical. Also, I encourage you to our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And that book will help you to better discern movies, music, and this incredibly powerful mediums that seem to be affecting modern Christian life and family life. The book is called The Tattooed Jesus, available at our website, generations.org, or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam Manis. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.